Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, hello. Thank you for coming back. And I knew you would because you are, now, you know, it's interesting to say, I know that, but you are the best podcast audience ever. Because I talk to my fellow, podcasting hosts, and they're like, really? They email you personally? They send you emails? And I'm like, yeah, you know why? Because I tell them to. So you tell me what you want, and we deliver. And we're so excited. And thank you so much. Our guests always tell me that they see themselves in places that we didn't place them, which is a really big deal. And we know it's from you. It's from our followers and our listeners and our viewers that are sending and sharing and sending and sharing. And we know that a lot of you as well are on the mission. You are on the mission and you're here to find out, what? Why do I stay here? Why do I keep doing this incredible thing called entrepreneurship? And I want to do a shout out because we did a great call We did a great show with an amazing man, Darren, and you all responded really high because, of course, he was up for an Emmy. And I want to let you know the inside scoop before it goes live. Yes, he was nominated and he is up for an Emmy at the September 2024. So I know that some of you saw that show and you're like, did he get it? Because he announced that he was up for a nomination. So thank you so much. He appreciates you. And honestly, I told him it was from being on the show. Really, what else would it be? So anyways, you are in for treats today. You know, you go on shows, you're like, you're in for a real treat. Well, you know what? You just walked into the buffet of entrepreneurships. It's all women today. It's like women in the house today. So welcome. This is a very powerful group of incredible entrepreneurs doing multiple things. And I'm not saying that because there's multiple people. I mean, these women are doing multiple things. And it's going to be interesting on what they share with us today. So we are going to be introducing, I know some of you are listening, some of you are viewing. So my beautiful entrepreneurs that are with us today, for at least the first time, when I say your name, can you just kind of put your hand up so people know who it is I'm talking about in case they are viewing and not listening? So we have Pat Alva Cracker, who is a business coach for women. We have Jennifer Bond, who is a vision strategist. We have Desi Boland, who is in all things virtual. She is also a founder. We have Jasri Lambert, who is an Ayurvedic doctor. We have Sue Coleman, who just coins the title entrepreneur. She is one of these multi-entrepreneurs. I'm going to tell her she's a multi-entrepreneur. We have Kathleen Carlson, who is the CEO and founder. We have Patsy Sanders, international image styles coach and speaker, and Catherine Holt, change agent advocate. So thank you and welcome to Mission Accepted. Ladies, here we go. I want to get to the heart of the matter. You have all done incredible, inspiring things, and listeners, listen to the end. And please reach out to these women because every single one of these women have multiple gifts for you, not only what they do, but I'm sure they probably have a little free gift for you. Just say you're from Mission Accepted. So Pat, let's start with you. I love that because we did pre-show. We've been hanging for the last few days. We did some media stuff, hanging out some last few days. And what is the largest draw for you? Like, what was it that made you decide entrepreneurship was the right route that you wanted to go?
Ever since I was a kid, my favorite game was playing business. We had a huge front porch. I had a table. I had a little cash register. I had a phone. I had invoices and a catalog that used to belong to my dad. I used to sell paints to my sister. In high school, I used to babysit. My parents were entrepreneurs. My mom took care of kids at home, and my dad worked an 8-to-5 and took all these side hustles to bring in money. So I grew up around it. I love the art of doing business. And as soon as I could get all my ducks in a row, I would do that. And I started with babysitting. And now I'm at a point where I've had multiple businesses. I've had four businesses and now I have two. And, you know, it's one of those things that I think of an idea and I'm like, ooh, that could be a business. And it's just part of my DNA.
Wow, I love that. And I love the fact that you said that your mother was an entrepreneur and she took people in because not everyone would have put that together. Oh my gosh. Jennifer, what about yourself?
Well, first, thank you so much, Deb, for inviting me to be on the podcast. I am just thrilled to be here with all of these amazing fellow entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs like yourself. For me, it really came at a change in my life. You know how a lot of times as women we get stuck in the different roles and the different labels that, people are putting on us or we're putting on ourselves. Well, for me, I had a career as a professional actress and I decided to leave that career. I moved halfway across the country and I started thinking, okay, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And one of the things that happened is I was also newly married and I had a very, very small baby at home with me and another one that was going to be on the way. And I realized at that time, it was time for me to start reimagining. It was time for me to start thinking about what is it that I really want to do with the rest of my life. And I didn't want to get stuck working for somebody else. I didn't want to be a slave to a time clock, and I didn't want to do things on somebody else's terms. And so I started thinking about what is it that I can do that I can be here for my family. I can live the kind of lifestyle that I want to live, and I can have a thriving business, and I can have something that's really, truly scalable. And then I can have that, what I like to call living the and. And so what that's led me to entrepreneurship. It led me down the direct sales path. And for the last almost 20 years, that has been the space that I've been in and have had just massive, massive blessings as a result of it.
Wow. I'm just loving the stories. Detsy, how about yourself, hun?
I resonate so much with Jennifer. And 8 years ago, we moved to a small little town of 45 people. And I have 10 years of corporate management experience. I did not want to be away from my family for 12 hours a day for where we are. And it really just, I started as a regular administrative assistant, and it's really evolved into what it is now. And I too get to be here with my family each and every day. And it's a life that I love.
Fantastic. And Jasri, yourself, what made you decide to embark on this beautiful world of entrepreneurship? Self-funding. That's my new term. Self-funding.
Self-funded, absolutely. Well, in Ayurveda practice, there was really no choice in the sense that because it was a new field to North America when I started in the 80s, late 80s, I'm in my 77th year now of continuous practice and still working full time and enjoying it and loving it and just loving your world, your word. Entrepreneur, because truly we have to be that. We have to be the superwoman. Most of us, yes, got involved because of needing to be at home for the children, especially when they were very young. Certainly that was my case as well. But the last job I ever had in my life was in 1977. And other than that, I've always made my own way. Just telling one person at a time about what I do, what I have to offer. And voila, the practice has created itself through seminars, through workshops, through trainings, through individual consultations, just all word of mouth. So that's how I happen to be here today, through your good graces, Deb, to offer me this word of mouth opportunity.
Awesome. I love that. I love that word of mouth. And for those of us that have been around, that have been doing our businesses for a long time, we understand the power of the word of mouth. And you know what? The other thing that you said that I loved is that the business started to build itself. And I think it's a beautiful thing when you're able to stand back and see yourself and then see your business as its own entity and that you are part of that and you have a relationship with your business because it starts to do its own thing. That's absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. And Miss Sue Coleman, nice to see you today, honey.
I'd love to be here, Deb. Thanks for inviting me and lovely to meet all these other amazing women. And it's a bit of everything that everybody said so far is what got me into it. When I look back, yeah, I had my paper route when I was a kid. I did babysitting. I was an Avon lady when my kids were little. I needed some adult conversation, so I thought that would be a good way to get out and about. And then I went into the lovely world of being a realtor, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'll have time freedom. Not sure what I was smoking when I chose that career, but one thing I did not have was time freedom. But that as it was, it gave me time to be with my kids. But really, over the last probably 20 years, I've really embraced being an entrepreneur. I've been involved in direct sales, and now I just love doing what I do now with coaching. Because I love being a digital nomad. I like not having to be tied to a desk or tied to a schedule. I can work my sort of schedule. When I'm enthusiastic, I get on with the things that I need to do. And I can chill when I'm not at my most productive. That for me is just why I just love being an entrepreneur.
Well, when I hear you talk, I just hear like freedom, freedom, freedom. And like when you're saying that right now, you love being able to live your life the way that you live your life. I just hear a lot of the word freedom, and I know that you've worked hard to achieve that. So congratulations.
Thanks,
And
thank you.
you're welcome, Miss Kathleen Carlson.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. It's so nice to be here with all these beautiful women. And I'm lucky enough to spend a lot of time with Deb. So this is just so good. I'm going to say I'm probably exactly the opposite of Pat. I did not have entrepreneur in my veins. In fact, I was raised completely different. I grew up in a steel mill industrial town, and I was raised with the belief you get with a good company, you work really hard, and they'll take care of you. And I did exactly that, albeit I had to move 2,200 miles across the country where women were allowed to work really in upper management positions. And so I did just that. And I won't say that I hated that because I was building my tool chest, right? 30 years corporate leadership, a lot of fun, a lot of not so fun. But at some point, I realized, I have spent my whole career, my whole adult life trying to fit in where others really didn't even want me to fit in. So I didn't realize how much fight was in me all the time. And that wears you down. And eventually I got to a point after 30 years and said, you know what? I want to go where I don't have to fight all the time. I'm working like crazy. I'm contributing. I'm helping. I'm a servant. And it just didn't feel appreciative. And also my values became so far different from where I was in the corporate, and I just couldn't wake up and face that anymore. So I feel like I sort of got a little bit forced into happily into entrepreneurship.
Awesome. I love it, right? This is like a wild garden, all different kinds of flowers. And Miss Patsy Saunders, so what was your draw? What was the drive to step into the world of entrepreneurship?
Well, ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted to be a hairstylist. Like I do my doll's hair, my mom's hair, and my neighbor's hair. And I ended up winning a scholarship to go to beauty college because that's what I ever wanted to do. So I have done that for 5 decades plus. But 8 years ago, I met a speaker trainer and this program where I had lost 80 pounds. She had lost weight. And I stepped into being the woman I used to vision myself, but she was not there before because she was dealing with life and ate over it. And so when I got a right-sized body and I started, changing my own inner outer image of who I was being, I was helping her with her course, and she said, Patsy, you have to get, color typed in this elements. And I'm going, I know my colors. I'm a winter. I should wear black and jewel tone. Like I thought I knew. She goes, but Patsy, what if what you're wearing is stopping people from working with you? Well, I had moved to a new area and I was struggling trying to get new clients and I couldn't understand why. She goes, just try it. So I stepped into this. I became a fire. I didn't want to be a fire, but I tried it. And the stylist said to me this, why don't we just go shopping and buy a few new things? And if people don't treat you differently, you don't have to do this. I said, okay, fine. And every time I'd wear one of those new tops to the salon, my clients go, wow, Patsy, you look pretty today. Wow, Patsy, you look nice today. And the salon owner came in. She goes, what are you doing differently? I said, changed my top. She goes, well, whatever you're doing it. And I realized that I was hiding in plain sight wearing the wrong colors, and I now got compliments everywhere I went. Now I had people come up and want to work with me that I'd been in network groups before, but hadn't wanted to work with me. And I realized there's a magic about wearing your right colors and an energy that allows people to see you. It was life-changing. So I decided to become a stylist. The owner got sick. I managed her business for 2 years, and 6 years ago, she sold me the business. So I think God has a sense of humor. I didn't even want to get color typed. Now I own the darn business. But what I love is I've always loved helping women look beautiful. But what I get to do now is help them look beautiful and be more confident than they've ever been in their life, because they're comfortable being who they are. So it's been life-changing. Sometimes I think God has a plan for us that we don't always know what it is until we just get on that road. And that's all I've ever wanted to do. I work part-time and I do this part-time, and I've become working with events and, you know, just, I just love coming alongside other coaches and helping us have your people be great. So it's been really fun having women feel beautiful. So
it's so interesting how, you know what I mean? Like how many people have decided to get into business in some industries? They're like, oh, I got dragged along. My friend talked me into it. My friend begged me to go into business with them. I wasn't sure. Not everybody steps in, you know, full heartedly. Sometimes the moment of, you know, the angels, the entrepreneur angels start singing 3 or 6 months down the road. So, oh my gosh. So Kathy Holt, Miss Kathy Holt. And for you, what was it that drew you to this world of entrepreneurship?
Well, I think like so many of the stories that we have all presented today, I was one of those in younger years that always was figuring out something to do to get money. But then I did go into a world of working in organizations. And it was fine. I learned a lot, as Kathleen said, you know, it added to my toolkit. But I then moved to Brazil. My daughter's father is Brazilian, and we lived down there, and I didn't fit in anywhere. So I had to start my own business. And I saw all of the wonders of the Amazon and decided to go into natural products and opened one of the first natural product stores in the city where I lived, which was over 2 million people. So that was kind of the beginning. And now, as I've matured in my work life, I've realized that women make 51% of the population, yet only about a third of the leadership, and only 10% of CEOs are women. I didn't want to be working that hard to be a CEO or own my own business or make my own decisions. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be that person. So that's what I went into.
Awesome. I love it. This is a complete wild garden. Thank you so much. And I know that there is people, you know, we talk about that, right? Because we've been entrepreneurs for a little while now, I love your word mature. Thank you. We'll borrow that, Kathy. So as we've all matured, right? And maybe done one business or two businesses, or some of us have different businesses within one, there's still many, many people that are thinking about the world of entrepreneurship. And sometimes when we're in it, it's kind of like, oh, everyone's like, doesn't everyone write a book? And I'm like, well, no, less than 3% of the planet, actually, right? But those of us that are in it, that we see it. And so we're starting to see people becoming open to not only adding on a side gig, but coming out of school right into entrepreneurship. We're seeing classes changing. We're seeing, you know, most of you know that my son started his first company, and he's just, you know, he's 20, and that there is this kind of like, Pat, you were raised in an entrepreneurial home, but we see people being raised in an entrepreneurial world. We see that opportunity not as, ooh, I don't know, but something very tantalizing, something that, you know, allows people to be creative. And we're seeing a drop in college and university signups and things like that. So ladies, as we kind of go around, maybe share what you think in terms of why entrepreneurship has become so, you know, so popular. And at the same time, if you were to take one word or two words, I know that you shared and what, you know, what, but what is it that keeps you on the path? What is it that makes you happy? You know what I mean? What is it that makes you happy? So for example, I'm a big proponent of direct sales. I love direct sales. One of the things that made me the most happy is when I was in direct sales, when I saw someone in my team that I knew worked really hard have their first walk across the stage. I mean, oh my gosh, I think my body tingled. You're behind the stage and you're seeing them and they're super nervous before they go and they want to throw up and you're like, you got this now, go out there and do that. You know, that for me was one of the things that kept me going when I was really strong in that industry. So your comments a little bit on why you see people coming in, because I know that a lot of you are coaches, you're working with first-time people, right? Even for you, Jasri, where people are starting. I mean, who could imagine just hearing about Ayurveda now, right? And Desi, you're in massive demand because all of these entrepreneurs, so you get to talk all the time. They're like, I need tech, I need, you know, this kind of thing. And like, you know, Patsy, you just said, getting people ready for stages and what have you. So you're all seeing it in your business, this whole wave. So what do you think that's about that? And if you could say the one thing that makes you really happy about being what it is that you specifically do, let us know. So Pat, back to you.
Yeah. So thanks for creating this energetic space. I just love the gifts that are being presented and just the energy and spirit. You know, when COVID hit, it was a game changer for a lot of women. They were forced to go back into the workforce. Actually, they were forced to go work at home. And they realized, heck, I enjoy being at home. Oh my God, I have more flexibility. I get to spend time with my kids. And they had a wake-up call. And one out of four women right now are contemplating moving into entrepreneurship because of the flexibility, the money, the growth. They're the boss. And so I get to work with those clients. Right now I have two clients that are looking at that. And what brings me joy and satisfaction is to see them get that clarity of really what they want to do and have that transformation happen right in front of my eyes. Mm-hmm. And then watching those shoulders drop and say, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's what I want to do. And just, you know, watch that joy in them. I'm like, I could be an I will be, and I will coach forever because of that satisfaction and that joy that I see when I see women move forward and reach their goals.
Wow. Clarity, clarity, clarity. Absolutely fantastic. And Jennifer, I know that you see this all the time in what you do, right? The trepidatious. And so for yourself, what do you think is being the big draw and what makes you, you know, what's that sweet spot? What makes you happy?
Yeah, you know, Deb, I think it's a couple of things. I think it's absolutely what Pat was talking about, that I think the pandemic really made a lot of people reset, think about what it is that they were doing. You know, there was so much fear. There was so much, you know, re-questioning what it is that you were doing with your life. You know, there's some interesting data that's come out recently. Forbes, actually, it's a couple of weeks ago, they put out a study, and they had done this study, and they were specifically looking at the group of Gen Z and millennials. And it was really interesting because they said that well over 50% of Gen Zers and millennials were currently unhappy with their corporate position. So working in a corporate position. However, the staggering statistic that came out, the follow-up, was that over 74% of them were interested in entrepreneurship. And it really, when you peel back the layers of the study, it was talking about specifically that this group, they want to do things on their terms. And so it goes back to what I shared earlier of, I think there's a lot of people like myself, like Desi, like so many of the beautiful women and entrepreneurs on here, like you, Deb, we're going down that direct sales path, we're going down that entrepreneurial path, whatever that might look like. It's an answer to being able to do life on your terms, to being able to create the type of life that you want to be able to have and be able to live your and. I think the second part of it too, though, Deb, is I think there's a lot of people like yourself who are really good, strong examples. And so it's showing people the possibilities so that they see the possibilities. It's no longer what Kathleen was talking about, you know, back in the day where you were stuck very much as a woman. There were these roles and labels that were assigned to us that we had to just step into that role and label. I think people are really shedding those roles and labels, and they're thinking a little bit differently. Your second question was, what makes me so happy? This is really easy for me. As a vision strategist, the thing that just gets me up in the morning and gives me goosebumps like it does right now is that I get to help create alongside my clients, alongside the amazing women that I've worked with. I get to help them create a vision for their life and then get to help give them a strategy on how to make that come to life. There is nothing better, just like you said, seeing somebody walk across the stage or earn their first incentive trip. Or, oh my gosh, when I get somebody say, Jennifer, I just applied for my first passport and I'm going out of the country for the first time in my life. And I never thought this could be possible. That's the thing that, you know, gets me up and keeps me doing what I'm doing, and it will keep me doing what I'm doing for a very long time.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And Desi, what about yourself? Now, you get to see the backside of it a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're sought out by entrepreneurs, right? So you are an entrepreneur that works with entrepreneurs, as many of us do. So I don't know, what is it? What's your happy place? And why do you think this is happening right now?
I really think this is happening, you know, as all these other beautiful ladies have said, it's the pandemic created a massive shift in the entrepreneurial world. And I love it. I love seeing all of the creativity and the imagination that comes out of this new generation of entrepreneurs. And you are so right. I do see the back end of things a lot. And the tech is definitely needed in the world. And what really gets me up and keeps me going is working alongside of these entrepreneurs and watching them blossom into living in their genius and not worrying about everything else. Be in your genius and everything will succeed. And that's really what keeps me going in this.
Awesome. Thank you. And Jasri, I know that you, for your industry, being an Ayurvedic doctor, you teach people how to involve Ayurveda in their life. And some of those want to become doctors and practitioners like yourself. I'm sure you've seen over the years the eyes opening around Ayurveda, particularly where you reside in the Western world. I know you are both. Tell us a little bit what you see in terms of your industry and what brings you joy.
Oh, my joy, I think, comes from really being involved, immersed every day in Ayurveda, the world's oldest holistic medical science. Many of us have seen the collapse of our medical systems and the inefficacies. We just heard yesterday about a young man whose father was killed by iatrogenic wrong prescription prescribed by a young doctor. So the family lost their father and patriarch. And this happens just all too often. So when we can really share authentically, deeply, widely with the oldest holistic medical science extant, it's still practiced today as it was thousands of years ago. So nothing is a fad. Nothing has changed. The principles are the same. So the reliability to me has been a mainstay, a great motivator. I would say what else compels me in entrepreneurship is the freedom, service, to be of service to others, to see that in the all critical department of health that people can thrive, because only on that foundation will they grow in other departments of life. I love that I report to myself, to my own conscience. I love the self-reliance and creativity that it affords me. And now that we have online access to the next generation of learners, you know, over COVID, yes, I had to learn all these techniques of internet education. So this is a great boon, as it turns out, in the history of humanity to reach a much wider audience and a much wider, you know, emails. I got one this morning from a student in Europe who wants to have mentorship with me. So how she found out about me, you know, I'll come to find out, but this is the beauty of having an in-person and an internet life. I find that it allows me to donate to those purposes that I'm thrilled about, motivated for. And in 2017, the Canada Ayurveda Research and Education Foundation, a nonprofit, federally registered, in good standing now, doing good works in these two arenas. Now that time for treatment is over in my life, very time consuming, energy consuming, but now it's really changing to the bigger picture. So Ayurveda is affording me all these purposes, as well as travel. I get to travel every year. I get out of the cold and into the warm. Yeah, and it is the schedule of my dreams. It's also the community of my dreams, Deborah. This company is a perfect example. So I'm just grateful for every day, every breath, every opportunity.
Wow, thank you. What a beautiful way to put that. It's like, and I love how you're like, Ayurveda allows me. And it's kind of like our businesses allow us, right? Energy in, energy out. I always say that when, I used to say that when my daughter was first dating and she would bring home her little friend. And I'd be like, we have a rule in this house, in case this doesn't last forever and you're not walking down the aisle, respect in, respect out, have respect for each other. Okay, Miss Sue, now I know you are absorbed in the world of networking and you are a very powerful connector. And so you must see people coming in to this world new very much in what it is that their needs are and those kind of things. So please share with us, what is it that you're seeing out there and what's the thing that, you know?
Well, what I saw, I mean, COVID was an awesome opportunity for people in many ways because they did have the opportunity to embrace entrepreneurship. What I found was, though, they didn't understand the relationship building. And so the art of networking really fell away. And that's what I find a great need right now is people need to understand how to build ethical, efficient, and effective networks and to focus on giving more than taking. Like when I was a realtor, everything I did was to get a listing or to get a buyer and this kind. And there's a much sort of gentler and more productive way of doing that. And that's what I find entrepreneurs are reaching out for is like, oh, this stuff doesn't work. Yes, it does, but you have to do the follow-up. You have to nurture the relationships. You have to stay in touch. It's not like, oh, I saw you on the screen. Let's do business. No. And, you know, or give you a business card. No, you need to build relationships. And that's what I find is, you know, and that was what brings me joy is when somebody goes, oh, I get it. I get it. The light bulb moment when somebody they've been sending out, I call it my sunflower strategy, that you send out referrals to people that you know, send people to the hairdresser, to the barber, to the nail tech, whatever. And that person remembers what you do and sends somebody back. That's, you know, you feed the petals and they'll grow the seeds. So that's something I find. And also we were given such an amazing global opportunity with COVID. It opened people's eyes to the world. I mean, we were trapped with these darn screens, but oh my, what an opportunity it's given us. It just makes me happy when people, you know, have that light bulb moment. Oh, I get it. And that they can nurture these relationships globally, not just in your backyard over coffee. So I'll stop my rant.
No. It's a powerful rant. And I think that we've all talked to it a little bit, but with this challenge came new opportunity. And by the way, people, this is how entrepreneurs think. So if you're hearing a theme, it's because that's how we're wired. So if you're like nodding your head while you're listening to this, or you're driving, woohoo. Sorry, you're one of us, because that's how we think. Now, truth be truth, right? Desi, you talked about it. Sue, you talked about it. And we've all talked about it. And if not, we have experienced it ourselves. And Jasper, you talked about it, the internet education that we had to go through, as one does when they go in from one form of doing business to another, or people coming in. And so they may come in high tech, low touch. We came in high touch, low tech. And so wherever you're coming in at, that's why we all get excited when someone gets it, because we all have gifts to give and we can see that magic. There's an elixir. There's always new things to learn, but with this great gift came also some deficits. And that happens to be one of them but can be learned. So thank you for highlighting that, because, you know, it's not all, right? Okay. Miss Kathleen Carlson.
It's interesting to hear everybody talk about the opportunities that came out of COVID. I see that. And I also see, for me, what I think is driving people to entrepreneurship is that it lent a tremendous exposure. And this might not sound popular, but what it exposed was the failure in leadership, the lack of mentorship, that, I start out talking about how hard I tried every day to fit in. And all I wanted to do was serve. Well, COVID gave everybody that chance to go, yeah, I'm uncomfortable too. And I can go out. But the reality is, we still do need big companies. We still are going to have corporations. You know, they provide a tremendous service, and we still need leaders. And so there's an opportunity for me, spending 30 years being a leader and mentoring. That was always my favorite piece, always the part that brought me sunshine. Yes, we had to meet all the goals and all of that. And that's just life. And even if you're running your own company, as an entrepreneur, you still need to hit those numbers. So what brings me joy is to be able to look at the women. I don't want 3 out of 4 women or 1 out of 4 women saying, you know, I learned, I educated, I got good at this, but I want out. I get to bring them back in and say, look, let's own what you are and let's go to business different. Let's bring those soft skills that we're so natural at and so good at, and let's bring them into the business and make that big change. So that's what I love to do.
Awesome. Thank you so much for flipping that coin. That's what we do. Throw it on the table. Let's talk about it. Let's dig that in. And I love that you talked about the numbers. I mean, it's one of the big things that I love. You know, I always say I do for people what they don't want to do. And most beautiful entrepreneurial creatives can't stand strategic planning and talking about first, second, and third quarters. So, right? It's like there's the variety of what it takes to make a business sustainable. And a sustainable person is a powerful person. So, Patsy, please share what you're seeing in the world of entrepreneurship out there right now.
I thought, you know, COVID, I was blown away by COVID because I had a makeover studio. I had manifested a makeover studio where I could do the whole makeover on a woman. I could do their colors, could do their hair, the makeup, everything in one spot. It was so exciting to see women start feeling more confident and transformed just by knowing how to shop and what to wear and feeling good about who being themselves. And then when COVID closed my studio down, I thought, oh, funny God, now what? And what I realized is that we all, as entrepreneurs, got online and did the Hollywood squares of networking, right? That's how we started meeting people. And I got a download one day saying, all these people don't know that what they're wearing may not be the best thing. And I thought, well, I wonder if I did this virtually, like put together a little. So I did. I got this idea to put a typing get together. I did a little beta testing, a girl in Oregon and one in Texas. And then I had a coach friend that had a bunch of friends that wanted to be color typed in this essence. And I could color type all of it, and it worked. And now I have clients all over the world. Who would have thought that I could change lives everywhere, not just locally in my community? So I think the one thing that I'm so passionate about is this. The world is constantly telling us, women, we're not thin enough. We're not pretty enough. We don't wear the right this, blah, 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 blah. But it keeps women guessing all the time. Like I watch it I work at Penny's at the salon now, and people are guessing. They hold stuff up like, does this look good? So it just is so much fun to take that guesswork out and help women know what to wear, how to look best on Zoom, on stage. I put together a new course on a 20-piece event-ready wardrobe, so you can do anything. You never have to think about what you're doing yet because we've worked together and you're ready to go. And so this has evolved over time for me to empower my people, my friends and women that are amazing, to feel so confident that it doesn't matter what they're doing. They can go, when they walk out of the bedroom, they know they're a rock star and it's all good. So I think that's the joy when somebody gets online with me and said, Patsy, I got 3 compliments this week because I wore that teal top. I mean, I've never had that many compliments. Like that's joy when I'm doing, they don't need me anymore. When I've taught them how to do what they need to do, it's exciting to see women feel beautiful and confident. And I'm so tired of the world trying to take that from them. So I think that's the one thing that I can change, and I can support other women to, it's not that hard if you know what it is you need to have done. So it's just exciting to be able to come alongside other coaches, other people. And I think that's what's why this is so amazing, Deb, is that we're doing this together. We're supporting each other, sharing each other's. Like, I've already thought of a couple of people that you know, maybe would want to talk to one of these girls. So like, it's like, that's the magic of women in entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is like, we're not afraid to work together. We love helping each other. We're not competing. We're here to uplift and change people's lives. That's my passion. And I think that's what I see. And I know Pat is amazing at that. Like, she's so focused on helping women and they get such great results. So like, that's what's exciting about being an entrepreneur.
Well, thank you so much for that. There's two words that stuck out for me. And one of them is collaboration. And I think that it's a word that people hear a lot of, but yet it's fairly new in the world of business. It's fairly new. And people coming into entrepreneurship now, we were just talking about like, what is it that's driving people to entrepreneurship, right? And I think the art of collaboration is forefront when people start to become entrepreneurs now, where before it was, if you were going to be an entrepreneur, it was kind of like either or. You were going to be in a corporation with people and support and meetings and that kind of thing, or you were going to be a solopreneur. Right. And solopreneurs go through different things. And then there was referrals. Do you remember everyone's like, I have a referral program, right? But that was like someone would refer to you and then you'd refer back to them. And it wasn't that there wasn't a sense of support, but I don't think there was a movement around it. I don't think there was, oh, we have a referral movement. Now there's referral organizations. I think a lot of us actually, if you're in direct sales, you're in a referral organization, but there wasn't a movement around it where we're seeing companies, big corporations like Kathleen talked about, you're seeing big corporations coming together. I see it a lot in my son's fashion business, big corporations, big sneaker companies, big fashion companies coming together and producing a product and taking that product collectively out to market to expand. And collaboration, we've taken it by its rein and it is running through all of our businesses. It is collaborative. Why are we doing group podcasts? Because the power of multi, because the demand of multi. I'm like, oh, my people want to learn more. Well, okay, here we are, right? And like Desi, teaching technology behind, how do you make your events go? How do you this? How do you orchestrate technology? For us, we teach media. How do you get people to say yes to you? Those kind of things. And what are you wearing? So I think that there's a synergy and a movement that's happening around collaboration like we've never seen before. And people stepping into this world, it's an automatic, right? Where before, I mean, I remember saying to my son, you should never have to sign a contract. Your handshake should be good enough. Now, if that's not archaic, I don't know what is. True principle and mission in our family, right? Shake a hand, you're in, right? No matter if it was, you know, taken out the garbage or whatever, you're in. But that would be considered an old thought process where now, but you know what I mean? That's a principle, but now they're coming in and it's just a given. It's just a given. So anyways, thank you for that trigger off. And talking about change agents, Miss Kathy Old, your opinion, I mean, you really see it. You live in a world of statistics. You see what's going on with women. If people don't know what Kathy does, she's in major leadership roles, United Nations, and you really see the involvement of women looking to become leaders. So what are you seeing? What's the draw?
Well, in my work with the UN and several NGOs that I've worked with internationally, I have seen entrepreneurship in other countries. And often for at least 15 years now, often it's because of need or barriers that women are facing. And I think, you know, for survival, they have to figure out how can they do something that brings in either food or money or housing for them in their situations. And I think that translates even to us now in that women, as I said earlier, leadership roles are really hard to come by for women. And so they see these different barriers, the mommy penalty, if you're a mom and you have to leave the workforce for a little while, there's just all these things in the corporate world that cause them to take pause and say, what about me? What can I do? How can I really reach my potential? And I think especially with entrepreneurship, some women are a little timid about taking that step because they don't feel like they have the skills. They don't feel like they have the knowledge. They're concerned about, can they make it? And as Kathleen said, those soft skills that women are really good at are leadership skills now. The whole leadership paradigm has changed so drastically. It's not the old curmudgeon in the office screaming orders to everybody. It's the one that can network. It's the one that has compassion. It's the one that has the ability to build teams. And those are things we're good at. So I get so much joy when I work with women and see them succeed, to see them blossom, to see them realize that they are leaders. They just haven't defined it that way because our society is still catching up with defining that way. But once they realize their superpowers and their potential, and they can take off and they can make those decisions to be an entrepreneur, to you know, strike out on their own and do something that they want to do that gives them, we've all talked about it, the flexibility, the income, the being your own boss. And, you know, I think all those things are what make women want to be entrepreneurs. And I just, as I said, I get, as Kathleen said, my sunshine comes when I have helped a woman, you know, realize her potential. I have one woman I've worked with in Africa for so many years, and she is now considered a UN expert in agriculture in small farms that women totally run and control. So, you know, I saw her when she started very early, when she was just really trying to get a cooperative together to survive. And now she sits on UN panels and is called for meetings around the world. It gives me chills just to think about her success, because that's what we need. Our movement needs more women entrepreneurs and more women leaders.
Awesome. Wow. I feel inspired and elated and energized. I'm sure you do too, right? I mean, I know we're all smiling because we're on camera, but I can see your energy change. Look, we're going to be coming to wrapping this up. So you ladies, we literally are a 30-second piece of advice here. So I'm going to introduce you so people know and hear what you do and who you are, and they will be able to match that to our show notes and reach out. And so I'm going to ask you that, and listeners and viewers, do hang in here to the very end, because of course we've got news to share with you, and we love you and you love us, and that's how it goes. So Miss Pat Alvacracker, who is a business coach for women, in 30 seconds or less, what is your advice for someone who is an entrepreneur or wants to be? Oh, we can't hear you, hon.
Whoop. Prioritize your self-care to amplify your business.
Thank you. Miss Jennifer.
Self-care is not, it's not a luxury. It's a necessity.
All right. Sorry. That you took a gap there, and yeah, that's fast enough for an introvert to move. So Miss Jennifer Bond, vision strategist.
My one piece of advice for anybody who wants to be an entrepreneur is, number one, lean in and go for it. You do not have to have an either or life. You absolutely can step into living your and get a mentor or a coach. I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is that they don't have somebody who is paving the way, somebody that can see the obstacles, the opportunities, having that somebody who can really collapse those decades into days, into weeks for them. So that would be my advice.
Awesome. Thank you. And Miss Desi Bolin, everything virtual for entrepreneurs, in 30 seconds, your piece of advice.
I think the biggest piece of advice that I learned and that I want to pass on to you is say yes and take a step. If you are being called to something, say yes and take a step, no matter how big that step is. You are being called to something great. You are here for a great reason. And that is the most prominent piece of advice that I can give you.
I hear a little show up, stand up, speak up. Thank you, girlfriend. Okay, Jasri Lambert, Ayurvedic doctor, your 30 seconds of advice.
You know, to me, the most important thing, Deb, is to be true to oneself. Who are we? What is our essence? What have we always loved since childhood, since the spark came? Be absolutely true to that. Come back to it time and time and time again in the dark moments, the bright moments. That way you can find what you love, be who you love to be, find a good mentor or team of mentors, build relationships, and come back to always being true to yourself.
Fantastic. Okay, Miss Sue Coleman. And Miss Sue Coleman is everything networking, and she is a powerful entrepreneur.
Yeah, my advice would be to come to every conversation thinking, how can you help? It's not about you and what can you get, is how can you help? And also to listen twice as much as you speak. You were given two ears for a reason and one mouth, and your ears will never get you into trouble.
Fantastic.
That's my advice.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Kathleen Carlson.
Yeah, thank you. I guess the thing I learned, and that was coming from corporate and being an entrepreneur and having this big position, someone said to me, you know what? You're not afraid to start. You're afraid to start small. So that was life-changing for me, because when you, you know, coming out of a big position, you just think you're going to step right back into that. And the world of entrepreneurship is completely different. It can be, and you know, there's a whole lot to be unraveled there, but you know, go back to that learning position, go back to that. What do I really want? How do I get there? Ego aside, and who are the people that I can collaborate with? Who can I bring in? How can I make this trip faster and still be willing to step back and be a learner?
Wow. Ooh, gem drops. And Miss Patsy Saunders, who is, and I'm sure you know by now, an international image stylist coach.
So I want to share with you an easy way to be able to be seen and heard on Zoom is to wear lashes, lips, and medium solid colors online. People will look at you and not what you're wearing, and you will absolutely feel more confident.
All right. Great advice. And Miss Catherine Holt, if you could wrap us up, and then we have a few beautiful things for you, audience, that would be great.
I would say that it's work. Being an entrepreneur is work, but it's work you're passionate about. So as somebody else said, lean into it. But also, as Pat said, set boundaries. Self-care is imperative because you are giving your energy, but also set boundaries because, you know, I find myself sometimes working at midnight and I go, I really shouldn't be doing this. I need to set my boundaries.
Set boundaries. That's a good one. That's fantastic. Thank you. Oh my gosh. I am sure that people have grabbed paper and pen at this point or writing everything down. These women have incredible gifts for you. Every single one has a gift for you. And we are going to be putting this out to the world. Please contact them all. Please share. You're going to have all their contact information in the show notes. Of course, we have gifts for you. And I think you know that we are now doing group podcasts. And for us, it's about supporting people to be seen, because part of being a successful entrepreneurship is people hearing about you. So, and what I love is when Jasri talked about how she got contacted this morning and she doesn't even know how yet that person heard about her. And that is the power of media. Media is the long game. Media is the long game. So we want to be part of your long game. So if you feel like you'd like to be in a solo podcast, you don't have to share the stage if you don't want to, or in a group podcast, we just set the dates for the next 5 months. So please contact us. We're happy to have you, as well as we've just opened the gates to Stand Up, Speak Up, and Show Up 2.0. And we have we don't have 220 speaking spots anymore because we're already filled for our first summit, but we do have probably 150 speaking spots. And that is for women that want to stand up, speak up, and show up and tell, what's your passion? What's your project? Is it a nonprofit? Is it a profit? What self-funding gifts can you share? So we have that available for you as well. And then, because it is our gift to offer media, we feel very backstage. We're very comfortable. What our joy place is when someone's in the stage and we're behind the curtain going, you go, you go, you go. And so we have a beautiful media class. And I know so much of our audience are people that are entrepreneurs, and you have confusion around media. You don't understand what media stacking is, and you probably don't even know what your media score is. And so we have a beautiful, beautiful class. It is extensive and it is thorough, and we will take you through that. And we've never done this on air, but we are coming up to what my chief marketing officer team says, you know, the beginning of the final quarter, where people are, what you talked about, Kathleen, looking at their numbers and knowing they need to do some kind of shift. That's a class that's always been $1,500 and absolutely worth double it. But as a gift for us, until we don't, until we don't. That's us, until we don't. It's $50 for our listeners and our viewers. So we're happy to share with you how you can get on platforms and do it right and just save yourself a whole bunch of time. So let us help you there. You still have to take the first step. You need to be that self-starting, I'm going to decide, I'm going to go to do this full-time gig, side gig, three-hour gig. It doesn't really matter, but just doing media right will be supportive to you. Trust me. So I want to thank every single one of you for taking time out of your day today, preparing for coming to today, and you are going to see all these incredible women in many things that we do. And so I usually ask this final question, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'm sure Carmel's like, okay, we always end with a piece of a music question. So we are going to, like, this is going to be popcorn, people. This is your 30 second of fame. So two tickets. Someone calls you. They're like, I have two tickets, backstage pass to a concert you've always wanted to go to. Never been to, always wanted to go to. And Pat, I can see you thinking, I'm going to start with you. Just like popcorn, two tickets, backstage pass, hang out with these people on stage. Who's it going to be? Pat?
Ooh, Mike Jagger.
All right. Jennifer Bond.
Adele.
Ooh, Desi.
I would have to say Skillet.
Okay. Jasri.
For me, it's the Beatles.
Ooh, Sue.
Yeah. Did you say me?
Sue, I said Sue.
Okay.
All right. Tom Jones.
Tom Jones. Oh, I'm back. Okay. Kathleen.
It's always Rodney. Backstage pass. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And Patsy.
Celine Dion.
Woo! Celine Dion and Kathy.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. All right. Yeah. Ladies, let's close it out. Thank you so much. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. We love you, adore you. Until we see you again, which is going to be really soon, you be well and you stay groovy. Bye for now.